It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and I have Matthew Kaws of one of my favorite bands, Not a Surf, in the studio with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Sky.
It's nice to have you come in here, and you're pretty much celebrating about a 20th anniversary?
It's kind of getting there. I mean, it depends where you start. You know, from the moment Ira joined the band, which is really when this trio really kicked off, I think our anniversary is like next year, the year after, but you know, arguably, yeah, it's right around now for
round
sure.
Up.
Yeah, totally.
We can round up. Now, I bring that up only because I think it's germane to the fact that the band initially gets together, starts to get some traction. Mm-hmm. Rick Ocasek comes into your life.
Yeah.
Which at the time was a great, I'm sure a great boon. That
oh, yeah.
He got connected with you and wanted to produce your record.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at that point, things are going swimmingly, right?
Well, right when we met him, we had nothing going on. And so, you know, I gave him a cassette and he called back a couple of weeks later and I went to his house to talk to him and he said like, well, what is this? And I said, well, it's an album that we made for this label in Spain, but they changed their story on us and they want it for the whole world, but we don't want to give it to them. They have nothing going on in the States. So in other words, nothing is happening. We just have this record. And he said, well, I think you should put it out the way it is. I think it's great. But he said, if you ever make it again, if you re-record it, I'd like to produce it and I'll do it really cheap. And we said, great. So let's just stay in touch. And then 2 weeks after that, we played a show in a little bar and this guy came up to me and said, hey, I liked your band. Do you have anything like a cassette or something? I said, sure. You know, what do you do? And he said he had a label called Number Six and they'd put out a record by this band Unrest that I really loved. And he'd done a Dean Wareham single, the singer from Luna. So I was very excited about that. Just the kind of thing we were looking for. And he called me the next day and he said, well, you know, I played your tape. I really like it. I actually work at a bigger company and I played it for my boss and he wants to meet you today. So we go in and Elektra offers us a deal on the spot, which we turned down because it wasn't the kind of thing we were looking for. But during the conversation, there was a funny moment because the guy said, well, so what are you thinking who are you thinking as a producer? And we thought, oh, well, I think Rick Ocasek. He said, well, he's hard to get. I mean, you know, good luck. He said, no, we have him already. So that was nice. That was our little boon. But yeah, so then we took a month to make up our minds and then ended up signing with them and so on and so forth.
And that begins a few years of real world, I guess. We could, just to be
a year and a half, maybe. Yeah, yeah.
A year and a half of real world education.
For sure.
With
for
the
sure.
music business.
That's right. That's right. And we had a feeling that we were going to get chewed up and spat out. And that's exactly what happened. And in the end, I kind of think things couldn't have worked out any better because it got our name out there to a great extent. It picked up a kind of a fan base. And then by getting dropped, that bought us 2 years of kind of sitting around, waiting to get the rights back to the Proximity Effect, our second album, so we could put it out ourselves. And even though at the time that seemed like everything is, you know, everything's bad because we're stuck. We're frozen. But actually what it did was it gave us an opportunity to make a first album all over again. When you have all this time, there are no expectations, no one's waiting for it, no one's watching you. And I was just working at the local record store and we were just hanging out.
to get the right answers. Move to a tier by a subway break dancer. It's never too late for teenage dreams. You'll get through the days when you're way too late. And the clouds eat the top off of the Empire State. Even those days. But I get the right answers. Move to a tier by the subway break dancer. It's never too late for teenage dreams. It's never too late. It's never too late for teenage dreams. Teenage dreams. Sometimes I ask the wrong questions, but I get the right answers.
You came together with Chris Walla.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And made, you know, really, you know, I guess in terms of these reinventions,
yeah,
and or at least regenerations in your own feeling and minds, The Wait Is a Gift was a regenerative project. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. No, that was really exciting. That was the first real pressure that we had, because Let Go, as I said, was made in a vacuum. No, we were kind of written off at that point. But then that came out, and I guess it was a little bit of a surprise to some people, like, whoa, that band actually made a serious album that we're into. And so then the element of surprise was gone. So The Wait Is a Gift was the first kind of like adult world record where we made like, okay, we're supposed to be good.
Did you realize that maybe it was aptly titled going in?
right. I didn't think of it in those terms. No, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, and you know, Chris Walla was amazing because he mixed a couple of songs on Let Go.
Right.
And he didn't know us very well. It's just that I was a real fan of his group. And since it looked like we were going to be on his group's label, he mixed Killian's Red, Blizzard 77, and Happy Kid. And he did them, he had one day off between tours. He had the flu and he had a new girlfriend. So what a trooper.
Wow.
Do that anyway.
I was trying to take all that
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it's too much.
And he managed to...
Maybe 2 days home from tour.
Prioritize
yes.
You guys.
That's he's huge. True blue. He is a real, real music lover who will always put whatever he's doing for work
Talk
first.
Talk about putting the music
he's,
first.
Yeah, just an amazing guy.
I got it all. I'm thinking he didn't even get to wash his clothes.
Right.
For you guys.
Yeah, no, that's, it's great.
And then you came back and worked, you know.
He did the next album and we had a great time. Yeah, he's one of those guys who, it's like he joins the band. You know, he learns the songs as you're tracking them and makes suggestions. And, you know, invaluable. But, you know, all these guys that we've worked with, I think, are amazing. That's been one of the great pleasures of having a kind of career, is that we've gotten to work with a lot of engineers and producers and that are amazing. And that's a personality type I'm personally very fond of.
Right.
Because they have to have it together. They're funny. They're personable. Right. Can calm you down. And wizards. Yeah, just
and,
great.
And the more they have a sense of your intent,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Obviously the deeper the connection goes.
That's right.
Some are great on the knobs.
Right.
Some are great on what's not being spoken.
That's right.
Can I join you? Are you dancing? Are you dancing at all? Move away from memory. Move to the core. I didn't notice anything. No frame to the door. Every birthday candle that ever got blown out is one more year of someone trying to figure it out. You'll turn the same way to my name. Don't say you need trouble to run from, to run. We see lines in symmetry, sometimes they're none. I really like it quiet, but I really like it loud. Always changing, never changing, never can slow down. Is it true? Is it over? Is it true? Is it done? Is it over? Are you dancing? Are you dancing at all? Are you dancing? Are you dancing at all? You better start dancing. Are you dancing at all? You better start dancing. Are you dancing?
This new record comes in with a full head of steam, I guess.
You know? Yeah. You know, we were just trying to make a record that really sounded like us, in the sense that, you know, most of our musical lives are spent on stage, way more than in the studio. And with the last couple of records that I'm very proud of, nevertheless, there was this feeling of disconnect, because on stage, I felt like we had a bigger head of steam than we did on records. So I thought, can we bring that into the studio and have it sound
level.
The same? Because I think there was a certain thing happening for a few years where we thought, you know, we'd be in the practice room and it would really be rocking. And then we get in the studio and think, okay, let's get serious now. Slow down a little bit. Let's not be too overexcited. We're trying to make some serious something here. But we've done that. And so we've had now two or three albums of holding back a little bit. And
I guess focusing on some of the melodicism, focusing on some of the aural aspects of it instead letting go, as you're saying it, and really putting the energy and the drive. You know,
yeah.
It's tough to articulate.
And it was actually a really natural thing to do once I realized that the homework was my responsibility, and that homework was finishing the songs before going into the studio. That seems really obvious. And to learn that at my age is ridiculous. But we'd done this covers record, If I Had a Hi-Fi, and one thing I noticed was that we played slightly differently when we really knew what we were doing, when we weren't sort of in there, cans on, red light on, still going like, how are we going to end it? What are we doing?
They were second nature to you, so you could really
into them. That's right. And in fact, one of the songs, the first song on that record is by Bill Fox. It's called Electrocution. And we were having trouble finding a take with the right energy, and Ira went in and played the drum part by himself. We hardly ever do it that way. We always play together. But he said, let me just try it once by myself. And he did this incredibly musical version of it with so much drive, just because he knew exactly how the song went and he could just sing it in his head. So that's what we were going for. And we also gave ourselves a limitation of time. And we went in we only booked a real studio, like a place to record drums, etc., for 5 days and cut it all that way, which sort of upped the pressure in a good way, because we'd try a take of a song and instead of going like, ah, sounds pretty good, let's revisit it in a couple of weeks and see where we're at.
Is that
the take? Because if it's not, we're going to do it again right now. Let's go.
Right.
You know, and I know this is the way most people make records, but the problem with having even just a modicum of success, and again, we're not like spending fortunes in the studio or anything, but for a couple of records, we were kind of set up for like 4 or 5, 6 weeks, you know, and I think it, you know, I think that kind of spoiling wasn't the best thing for the music.
To make a mountain of your life is just a choice, but I never learned enough to listen to the voice that told me always love. Hate will get you every time, always love. Don't wait till the finish line.
Thank you for coming by today. You know, we're big fans, and thank you. You did take a request.
Yes.
You actually played a request.
With pleasure.
Which we appreciate. And no, it wasn't Freebird. It was actually Always Love, which, you know, not to sound too self-important, but I really, and I mean this with great sincerity, I think that's one of the 10 greatest songs of the last decade. I truly do.
That's very kind.
I mean... And it truly remains, you know, in our library as one of the most celebrated songs. And the new album, too. I can just hear that this is going to be a record that we're going to be playing a lot of for a long time. So when you come back through Los Angeles, know you have a home here now.
Thanks so much.
And as you saw by the size of our studio, if you need to crash, you know, you can
definitely
get the sleeping bags on the one half that we don't really do anything with.
Right.
Well, once again, Matthew, thank you for coming by at 88.5 KCSN.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.